angels in Genesis 6 who came into the daughters of men, sons of God, who came into the daughters of men. Jude refers to the angels that left their first estate. And now, some people teach that in Romans Revelation 12, they'll say that when Lucifer fell, he took a third of the angels with him. That's not accurate. We don't know how many he took with him when he fell in Isaiah 14 and became Satan. Lucifer became Satan. But there's coming another one. However many angels have already fallen, we don't know. But there's coming a time when one third of all the angels are going to fall. And that's after the rapture during the tribulation period in Revelation 12. And so we're going to have quite a number. People say, how many angels are there? We don't know, but there's references to hundreds of millions and legions. And so there's going to be, a third of those plus all of them that have fallen in the past. And the Bible doesn't say even today an angel can fall. The Bible doesn't say that there's only a certain time when angels fall. And so, but back to this, if you're not saved, that represents your future. And if you're preaching the gospel and you're not presenting this to people, you're not doing it right. And so that's where the blindness starts, in the way that the gospel itself is misrepresented by the spiritually blind. A lot of times they're blinded by the desire to have numbers. They're blinded by the desire to be able to brag. Whatever it is, this is from J. Vernon McGee. I wish I could do an imitation of him. I love the way he talks. But, friend, to be right in God's sight, you cannot compliment the ego. You don't go up to people and tell them how wonderful they are. You don't pat the pride. You don't smile upon sin and put cold cream on the cancer of sin. You cannot write a prescription on philosophy and have it filled in the pleasures of the world. The only place you can go is to the foot of the cross. Amen. There, God performs an operation, major surgery, and makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's what the gospel is all about. That's taken from his commentary. And this picture came to mind. I had this, I don't even know where I got it. But that's where you start. If you don't start there, you started in the wrong place. I remember when I got saved, I spent some time on the resurrection. But then when I came to the point of decision, as they call it, the point of being saved, I became so heavy with the reality of the cross, of Jesus, the sinless Son of God, on that cross, and the reality that my sin put him there. And I just became so heavy with that. I didn't weep and boo-hoo and carry on, although if you do that, I can understand why. I just had that heaviness. But then the moment that I settled it, I felt like a feather. it's an amazing transaction that takes place, but it has to start right there, the foot of the cross. So read this verse that we just read, Luke 6:39. And considering the implications and the application, and he spake a parable unto them, can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? And you realize how sad and sick this is, that anyone would even start you out wrong, not presenting the gospel biblically. I mean, these guys have a Bible, and I'm telling you, even in the perverted versions, the most of the ones I've read, you can get the gospel right. I've met people who are saved reading the Jehovah's Witness translation, and that's terrible. But the gospel itself, I don't care if you read it written on a garbage can. If it presents Jesus as dying for your sins, buried and rose again, and you allow God to speak to your heart and recognize your need of salvation, and you receive that and repent toward God with faith in that gospel, even if you read it on a garbage can, on the wall of a bathroom, wherever it is, that gospel will save. That's why those presenting a false gospel are cursed. These blind that we're reading about right here are cursed. Look over at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, beginning verse 6. It's the year 2020. And it's getting really bad as far as preachers, churches, false religion, cults, false gospels. But you know, Paul wasn't even finished writing his epistles and he was dealing with it. As he's writing Galatians, look at verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto what? This is before 100 A.D. Read verses 7, 8, and 9 with me. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Now people wonder why I don't take part in this ecumenical stuff. We have a local ministers, whatever, union or whatever they call it. I think they call it faith something. They try to sound ecumenical with it and everything. And it includes Hindus and Muslims and New Agers, you name it, Catholics, Protestants. They're accursed. And we're told not to be unequally yoked. And yet, you'll find some of the more moderate Baptists, Nazarenes, Pentecostals, people who claim to be evangelicals, yoking up with those groups, joining up with them. And then what you find a lot of times is eventually those preachers end up going away from those denominations and going into apostasy. That's where the United Methodist Church has gotten a lot of their preachers. Their preachers started out in more conservative denominations, but then they saw that, you know, they got ecumenical, they went into a personal individual apostasy, and they also saw the Methodist denomination pays better. That's exactly why. Worthington Interfaith Neighbors. Doesn't that sound nice? Now, I get the email. Somehow I got on their email and I get invited to their stuff. But Paul didn't just say, your God's your God, your way's your way. You want to hear my way? I'll share it if you want to hear it. That's what these guys do. Paul pointed to God's law to everybody he talked to, the Jew and the Greek, and called on sinners to face their lost condition. We're in Galatians. Go to Galatians 3. Just a couple pages over or a couple clicks. Galatians 3, 21. And this is Paul. And I've heard people, hyper-dispensationalists and others, say you shouldn't be preaching the law and confronting sinners with the law. They do. Because they just want to say, you know, you're wonderful and God just say this little prayer so you can get this taken care of. God will save you and you'll have it done. The way it's being presented. Yeah, it's just one of those things like, you know, getting your will done. You know, you just need to get it done. Yeah, get this taken care of. Look at verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But verse 22, read that. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now, verse 23 says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith, which should afterwards be revealed. And that tells you that the people before the cross didn't look forward to the cross to be saved like it's taught in a lot of churches. We don't have time to get into all that, but read verse 24 with me. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. There it is. And I'll even go and read that to these people and they just, you know, don't want to see the truth. If you're going to preach the gospel, start with the fact that you have to make them understand they're lost. Just the same way you, if you're saved today, you had to come to the realization you're lost. And the old saying is, you got to get them lost before you can get them saved. Because like I said, most people think they're okay. I'm okay, you're okay. We're all okay. Okay? Now, Paul preached this gospel as the only possible payment for our sins. Sister Janice was asking me this week, what do you think about somebody who says they're a Christian but thinks there's other ways to God? They're a liar. They're a fraud. When you got saved, you were acknowledging there was nothing else you could do to be saved but for the cross. So then to turn around and say, but other people can get there other ways, you just repudiated the fake faith that you claimed to have when you supposedly got saved in the first place. 1 Corinthians 15, let's look at it. I know you, some of you know it by heart. Praise the Lord that you ought to. But I want to look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And the very first verse of chapter 15 says, this is the Apostle Paul again, just for those who might wonder. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? Which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein you stand. You can't be more clear than that, can he? By which also ye are saved if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. I believe that applies to these people who run around saying they're saved, but say there's other ways to heaven. Now read verses 3 and 4. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You realize that's really all you need right there. You can present the law if you want to go there in Exodus 20. You can read it to people, but most of you can remember, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. You know, so if you can just preach that to people and present that to them, the law, and say, now, have you ever stolen? Have you? Then you can come here and you say, well, what about repentance? Any honest person reads this, sees Christ died for our what? Yes. So He didn't just die for your unbelief. And so when you turn to the gospel, you're coming to Him repentant of everything. What you believe, what you are, what you've done, and empty hand. Now, if you want to, you can go to Acts 20:21 and, read that to him. But that's all you need right there. So Paul then called on the lost to what?
Repent.
All right. I know it's a big word. Paul then called on the lost to what?
Repent.
And put their faith in Jesus. This is Pauline. Acts 20. Go over there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts chapter 20. And let me ask you something. 20:17. And we'll read a few verses just to give it the context that you know this is Paul. He says, and from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Now this is Paul, and he's describing his ministry. This is, for those of you into the hyper-dispensational nonsense, this is after he has received the revelations of the mystery. He has been preaching the gospel of the grace of God. This is our dispensation. And verse 20, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. He was a street preacher. And now read verse 21. Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Pauline doctrine, Pauline practice for this dispensation. Paul preached their need, preach the gospel, and then called on them to repent with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul insisted that the true believer is a repentant believer that will produce evidence. Not to be saved, but if their faith is genuine, it is based on repentance. And there will be evidence. Look at Acts 26:21. A lot of these hyper-dispensationalists and independent fundamental Baptists with their 1, 2, 3, pray after me nonsense, they'd love to rip this chapter out of the Bible. They wouldn't say that, wouldn't admit it, but they do. They ignore it. They act like it's not even there. Acts 26:1. Then Agrippa said unto Paul. This is Paul. Now look at verse 15. I said, this is Paul talking, who art thou, Lord? He's recounting his Damascus Road experience. And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering, look at this, thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. Read verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That should happen. That happens right when you're saved. Then verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but, read verse 20, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance, not to be saved, but because they are saved. Repentance is not works, but repentance produces works. And if it doesn't, there's something wrong with your repentance. Sadly, these blind teachers arise among us as teachers in the churches. They're not just the outsiders, not just in the cults and false religions. We're in Acts 26. We go back again to Acts 20 and verse 27. Acts 20:27. Paul says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Read 28 with me. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now he's talking about real churches filled with believers, but there's always possibility that the wolves can come in. Read verse 29. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. This is before 100 AD. If it's happening then, what's happening now? Just turn on your TV and look at 9 out of 10 TV preachers for your example. Also of your own selves shall men arise. We've had them come right in this building, start attending here. And then the next thing you know, they're trying to talk people into believing Jesus isn't God. Trying to talk people into believing that Israel's not the real Israel. The rapture isn't going to happen before the tribulation. You name it. They know before they come in here that we believe that. Then they come in here and within a few weeks trying to convince people they have to be baptized to be saved. It's happened right here numerous times since 2006. Also of your own selves, it says. Verse 31, read that. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And it's been going on here for going on 14 years, warning people. And I'm here to tell you, most of the people will not heed the warning. They just keep going back to the wolves. So as we wrap it up, just a couple of implications of what we've been studying. It is your responsibility to judge teachers, not mine for you. It's my responsibility to judge teachers for me and my house. I'm not your, boy up for hire here. Even if I took a paycheck, that wouldn't be my purpose. You are to be a priest between God and you is only one man, the man Christ Jesus, not Pastor Greg or any other pastor. And you are to study to show yourself approved unto God. That's not just for preachers. You are to hide the Word of God in your heart that you might not sin against God. Can't leave that up to your preacher, your parent, or whoever. It's you. Everyone in this room is above the age of accountability as far as I can tell. I mean, some of you make us wonder. But everybody here is above the age of accountability, and if you drop dead today, your eternal destination will be decided upon what you have or have not decided with the gospel up to this point. And if you've been following, usually you're watching online, you've been following false teachers and believe false gospel and not taking care of matters, you die today, you'll go to hell. That's it. Acts 17:11 says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things or those things were so." Amen. That's what you're supposed to be doing. You should be reading your Bible every day. Amen. Implication number two, it is your duty to avoid blind teachers and to warn others. Stop worrying about whether Aunt Gertrude or your best friend from kindergarten or whatever is going to get mad at you. Now, some of you in here, I know you've told them. And if you're still friends with them, God bless you. Because, most of the time that'll end the friendship. But sometimes they'll listen to you and they'll still be friends and they'll just try to avoid bringing up the subject. The important thing is you told them. Amen? That's it. That's where your responsibility ends. But it is your duty. And we could go into many places like Ezekiel talks about having blood on your hands if you don't. That's something to think about. But Acts 20:31, "Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Remember Paul saying that? We just read it. Hope you remember it. Implication number three, failure results in your own faith being shipwrecked. I could go back into the 90s and I knew some of the people were going to make shipwreck. And they did. I could go back 10, 15 years, and I knew some of the people who were going to make shipwreck, and they did. Thankfully, I know a few people who I thought were on their way to shipwreck, but they righted the ship. You can do that right now, today. You can right the ship. You can decide, I'm not going to follow the nutcases anymore. I'm not going to be a sucker anymore. Amen. It'll change your life, but also, it says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. What happens when you make shipwreck? Failure to warn others implicates you in their fall. You can have a great influence on people. You can also be part of the reason why they fall. They're still responsible for the fact they chose that route and went that route. But you are going to be held responsible if you don't warn others.
What was that last verse again?
1 Timothy 1:19. And Philippians 2:4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. That doesn't mean to be a busybody and butt in people's business. That's talking about their soul. If you see someone walking toward destruction, you see someone listening to a false teacher, following a false gospel, whatever it is, on a spiritual level, it's something you can see and you can confront them with. Now, you can't go confronting people with all what's going on in their life or they'll start confronting you. Remember, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Better be careful with that. But what we're talking about today, we'll close with this as the musicians want to come up. And number one, don't follow the blind. How easy is that? Evidently not very easy. Whole lot of people still following the blind. Don't promote the blind. You'll notice I don't promote very many preachers. We've had this conversation, John, and we've had this conversation on social media. I don't promote very many men. It's not that there's nothing, I could say preach pastor so-and-so, preacher so-and-so. Every time I start to promote somebody who's live and still preaching, within a few weeks, they go crazy. It's weird. And I've promoted people here. I've at least said, hey, there's this fellow, there's a person you can listen to. They're pretty good. And then a few weeks later, I'm like, I have to take that back. And, they go crazy. That's why I'm careful like that. I believe I'll be held responsible if I lead people to follow the blind. And then don't be blind. Don't be blind. The only way you're not going to be blind is if you're in the book. Studying the Word.
Amen. Amen.
That's it. And if you are saved, you once were blind, but now you see. And if you haven't let that sink in before this, let that sink in. You once were blind, but now you see. And if you understand why, if you see, then you're going to understand why. It's all because of Jesus. It's all because of what Jesus did on the cross. That's why a real saved Christian doesn't get the big head. It really bothers me. I see these Christians become so judgmental and put themselves up here and look down on everybody all the time. Because there's something wrong with that picture, man. If you remember, if we left it up to you, you should be burning in hell right now. You don't deserve, and you shouldn't be lifting yourself up or having others lift you up. I want to stop it, or keep playing softly, but I just want to say this. It may not apply to anybody here in the room, but it may be someone else listening out there. You got to take this thing seriously. If you look at your spiritual life, your walk, and it started wrong, it's wrong now. If you didn't face your sin and face the reality you deserved eternal death in hell in a lake of fire, if you didn't face the reality that only Jesus paid for those sins, if you don't face that reality, then right now is the time to make it right. You don't have to do anything special. Don't have to run the aisles. Don't have to send an offering. You don't do anything, but in your heart, just right now, trust in that gospel. If you've repented toward God in your heart, not physically turning, but in your heart, you realize, I need to just dump all this. What I've believed in the past. I turn from what I am, a sinner. I turn from what I do and what I enjoy even when it comes to sin. I just turn from it all and with empty hands look up to God, believing that gospel. That Jesus died for your sins, paid the full price, was buried and rose again, conquering sin and death. Right now, you do that. This moment, you're saved. Then you can pray. Now you can pray and say, thank you, Lord, for saving me. Let us know. Send us an email. Tell your...